right up here. With a yellow shirt, I can't miss her. The senor. Do you take Spanish, too? I said she's a senor. As a senorita. I was thinking especially of Elizabeth and I guess Jacob graduating from college, which that is an amazing miracle, isn't it? Whoever thought he would wear a graduation cap and gown from a college? What? And by the way, people said that about me. If you would have known me as a teenager, somebody asked, never mind. I won't go into those stories. I'll incriminate myself. But for the grace of God, it's amazing what God can do through His grace when we just walk with Him. But I want you to turn, if you will, to James chapter number 1. There's a verse that I really struggled with what I was going to share with you tonight. Had a number of ideas, but the Lord kept saying that, seeming to say, no, not that, not that. And I think, okay, Lord, we're running out of things to share. So this morning in my prayer time, God brought something to my attention that I thought, there it is right there. And isn't it good when God hears your prayers? And God answers your prayers through the Word of God. And that's the way He works, is through His Word. His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In James chapter number 1, I want to read a verse or a number of verses. There's one statement specifically that I want to focus on this morning or this evening. I don't even know what time of day it is, but I do think it's Sunday, isn't it? I've got that right. In James chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 2. If you follow along, I won't have you stand. Not everybody has a Bible. If you're within sight of a Bible, I encourage you to look on with someone sitting next to you if they have a Bible. In verse number 2 of James 1, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." That's an amazing verse. I don't know about you, but when I'm going into trials and heartaches, I don't go in joyfully. I don't go and rejoice. Well, praise the Lord, I've got cancer. Well, praise the Lord, my husband and wife's given 6 months to live. Praise the Lord, I lost one of my children. No, that's not the way we go into it, but God says, count it all joy. And He says, here's the key in verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. By the way, the time to claim that verse is not the night before a big exam in school. I've tried it. Lord, I'm lacking wisdom. And God says, maybe you should have studied. Maybe you should have applied yourself. But if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away." And we'll just stop right there. I never know where to stop in the Bible because I want to just keep going. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would teach us just a simple lesson tonight to let patience have her perfect work. And God, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. I pray if there's any here tonight that do not know you as their Savior, Lord, that you would especially show them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. And it's by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord, more than that, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us now through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The phrase that I want to focus on tonight, and there's so many great things in the book of James. And by the way, as soon as I say the book of James, automatically I feel I need to get to the altar. Just the mention of the book of James brings conviction to my heart. Because James has so many things that are very hard-hitting and hard to swallow and difficult to apply to our lives. But he says the statement is, let patience have her perfect work. Let patience, in verse number 4, let patience have her perfect work. How's our timer going here? Oh man, we got all kinds of time. I'm going to keep looking at that. I can't see it unless I step to the side. So if it runs out, you stop me, okay? I don't think that's going to happen. But I want to show you something with that that has to do with our verse tonight. Let patience have her perfect work. Now I've learned this, that God tests. He tests us in order to teach us to trust Him. The Bible says that He does not tempt us. In fact, in James chapter number 1, just down a little bit farther than where we stopped. Again, when I start reading in the Bible, I never want to stop. Sometimes it makes me late for things because I get in the Word of God or in prayer and just lose track of time. But later on, about verse number 13 and 14, He tells us where temptation comes from. Now, it's interesting, the word temptation used here in verse number 2 is a different word than what's used in verse 12 and 13. In verse number 12, in fact, look down if you will, in verse number 12 or 13 and 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. To better understand the word temptation, though, it's the same word in our English Bible. It's a different tense of the word that gives it a quite different meaning. Earlier when it says that in verse number 2, when it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, that temptation is talking about a testing. God does not tempt us. A temptation comes when we make the wrong choice on that test. And when we think of a test, especially when we're recognizing graduates, we think, well, I had to pass these tests in order to pass a class. That's not really the purpose of God's test. A test that God gives us is more like a checkup at the doctor. Not something you study for, not something you prepare for, but God is telling you, or the doctor is telling you what's wrong with you. And he's testing to see what your symptoms are. You know, they take your little temperature, they take your blood pressure, and they say, okay, this is what's wrong with you. And that's what God tests. And his testing is not because he doesn't know what, he knows what's wrong with us. He's just showing us what our problem is. And he knows what it is, and he knows what the remedy is, but he's just letting us know. So he brings us through those testings, and when we fail that test becomes a temptation. We're drawn away of our own lust and enticed, and we say, God, that's not fair. Why did that happen? And we start to blame God, and we start to curse God, or we start blaming others instead of realizing this is God showing me something. And he said, when you're tempted, when you're tested, let God know that this, verse number 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The purpose of those tests is to work patience in your life. Now, I'm going to look at the word patience here in a minute. But God says, I brought that test in your life so that you would learn patience. And most of us, when we think of that word patience, what do we think? If I'm talking to a parent and they say, what's the word patience? God, give me patience so I don't strangle this child. We think of a teacher, God, give me patience so I can make it to the end of the year without losing my sanity. And give me patience, I'm not sure if I can make it. When the Bible uses the word patience, it's talking about something far different. But if you look up the word patience, you find out that this is a meaning of patience, but it's not the way we use it, even in our English language, so much today. Patience, when God talks about let patience have her perfect work. Patience, and I just looked it up and came up with a couple of short definitions from different dictionaries, and this is still in modern dictionaries. The way they define patience is it's a steadfast, it's a consistent, it means enduring, it means unmovable, it means unshakable, It means to be persistent. In other words, it means don't quit. Just keep going. To quote something that maybe is not so spiritual, but some of you might know. Remember the movie that was popular, Finding Nemo? I always want to say Finding Gizmo, because that's what I called it. Finding Nemo. And the line in there where the fish, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. I don't know, whatever, just keep swimming. Just don't ever quit. Let patience have her perfect work. And the word perfect means perfecting, purifying, cleansing, maturing us. You see, those tests that we go through in life are bringing us to the point where we can be what God wants us to be. Because we won't get there without those tests, without those trials. Just like you have to pass a test for school, God brings certain things in your life in order to strengthen you. Now, they turn into a temptation when we are tempted to quit, when we want to just throw up our hands and give in. But God says, let patience have her perfect or her maturing work. Let patience work in you to mature you, to bring you to the place where God wants you to be. And I want to give you a couple of things tonight. We're going to turn to other places in Scripture, and I'm going to read the verses because not everybody has a Bible with you. One of them is just let patience have her. I'm going to let patience have her perfect. How can I be what God wants me to be? And that's what we realize. And so, you know, the world talks about graduate. Oh, go out and be all you can be. Conquer everything you want to. Now, I realize I can't do anything without Christ. That's why I need God's grace. Without Him, I'm nothing. There's nothing I can do in and of myself. I can't save myself. I can't keep myself saved. All of that is because of the grace of God. I can't be used. I can't be the person God wants me to be without His grace working in me. I want His patience to do the enduring work. Patience is, first of all, and we're going to talk about it this way. If we're going to endure, if we're going to let patience have our perfect work, we're going to have to, first of all, have a no-so salvation. You know you're saved tonight? Say amen. You know you're saved. You know that you're on your way to heaven. Let me give you a verse. In 2 Timothy, go ahead. Backwards. We're going backwards to 2 Timothy. I forget where I am in the Bible here. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. And what a great truth this is. And I think of tonight, and again, I'm thinking of Elizabeth sitting right up here. And all of us, of course, it's written for all of us. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. And I want you to look at, beginning in verse number 12. Paul is giving us some instruction here. By the way, what God has to say about Christianity is not what the world says about Christianity. The world says, oh, you trust Christ, your Savior, everything's going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be great. You're not going to have any trials. You're not going to have any disappointments. You're not going to have any heartaches. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, it didn't take me a week to figure out the exact opposite is true. All of a sudden, it seems like the whole world is against you, where before you were just kind of going along with the flow and everything was great and everything was wonderful, but now you've decided to swim upstream. And you found out that you can't do that without God's grace. I cannot do that on my own, but I need to learn to stand in His strength and in His power, and I need His grace working in me. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look at verse number 12. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that's an encouraging thing, isn't it? Hey, if you live for God, the world's going to hate you. And Jesus even said, if the world hated me, you know it's going to hate you. But if the world loves you, you know, if they love me, they're going to love you. And as far as I read, the world didn't think much of Jesus Christ. They still don't think much of Him. And if they hated Him, they're going to hate us. If we live godly, if we live like Christ, the world's going to hate us. But that ought not to bother us, because we're going to let patience have her perfect work. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Some people say, oh, it's going to get better. No, it's not. Never is going to get better till Jesus comes back again. Evil men and seducers shall continue to grow and abound, and especially, boy, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what's growing in our world today. Everywhere you look, every year seems 10 times worse than it was the year before. And I wonder how much longer. I've been thinking that for years. But we won't go any farther than that. But verse number 14, but continue, there's patience right there. Continue Continue. Let patience have her perfect work. Thou and the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And notice this in verse number 15. I think especially of young people like Elizabeth and other children here, and our children have grown up in the Lord and in Christian homes and a Christian environment, not just Christian in name, but Christian in reality. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. From the earliest days of your memory, you were taught that Jesus is the only hope that you have for salvation. It's not your goodness, because we have no goodness to offer. It's not our kind-heartedness, because inside our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's not, well, you know, just be a good little boy and maybe your good works will outweigh. No, it has nothing to do with that. When a child, you've understood that salvation is through faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Without Him, there's no salvation. You've understood that from the earliest days. Elizabeth, do you remember the first day you came to church? I didn't think so. Because it was before you were born. Thank the Lord for people that have grown up in church, and not only grown up in church, but grown up in homes where the Bible is read, where prayer is a natural thing, where people talk positively about the things of God and walk with God. And from a child, you've known that. And then he clarifies it even more so, where he says, all Scripture is given, in verse number 16, by inspiration of God. This book is different than any other book, because this book was written by God Himself. Not only was it written by God, but it's preserved by God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature. Let patience have her perfect work in you. That a man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Not sinless perfection, but maturity perfection. The patience of God gives us maturity. And without knowing for sure that our salvation is safe and secure, that it's not by our works, not by our baptism. Thank the Lord for some young ladies right up here tonight that follow the Lord in baptism tonight or this morning. Thank God for those that are members of the church, but being baptized, being a member of church, being a good person, ain't going to get anybody to heaven. A lot of good religions out there, but no religion can get you to heaven. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. And you've understood that. It's not by our works. Stand, have a no-soul salvation. I know I'm saved because I repented of my sin and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and put aside my religious good works and all my good deeds that I thought would get me some brownie points with God and earn me a spot in heaven. No, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Have a no-soul. If you're going to let patience have her perfect, it's maturing work. You've got to know for sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you have Him as your Savior. And then, once you know Him as your Savior, the second thing is stand on the sure foundation of faith. Stand on the sure foundation of faith. You turn back a couple of pages in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I have a whole section here I wanted to read. Let me just pick out the one verse instead of reading all of it. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and just verse number 12. Paul is giving his testimony. In the midst of his testimony, just a statement that he makes in verse number 12. It says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. He's talking about the things that he's gone through, that he's endured by the grace of God to keep him steadfast and going forward. For he says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know that Jesus is my Savior, and I know that He's going to get me to heaven. Now, what takes place between now and then, I have no idea. And Paul went through some severe persecution, even to the point where he was stoned to death once, and God raised him up from the dead. He suffered shipwreck. He was in prison often, beatings often. Everywhere he went to preach the gospel, some folks got saved, but the majority of people turned against him. They beat him. They ran him out of town. They imprisoned him. They chased him like some kind of wild animal to try to destroy him and his message. But he said, I know whom I believe in. And I know that he is able to keep me. All these temptations, hey, they're nothing. They're brought into my life to teach me to trust in him. In fact, he talked in rather extensively to the church of Corinth about a thorn in the flesh, which he was really talking about a person, I think, that was a constant thorn. You've had them, haven't you? Just so it's not your husband and wife, you're okay. Maybe your children. Maybe your parents, I don't know. But that person that, you know, everything that happens, is they're just something, you know, somebody is always down and discouraged and whatever. But he said, I know that I believe it. And I'm sure that God's going to get me through. But he said, God has given me this thorn in the flesh. And I prayed 3 times, God, would you deliver me? Would you deliver me from this trial, from this situation I'm in? And God never answered. He said, 3 times I poured my heart out to God. And finally, God answered this way. He said, my grace is sufficient. For when you're weak, that's when you're strong. I put that in your life just as a constant reminder, I can't do it on my own. I cannot make it on my own. God says, let patience have her perfect work. Let the patience just do what God has told you to do and trust him for the outcome. The only sure foundation we have is this book, Ephesians 2 and verse 20. I love that word, that verse. It says, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's the New Testament and the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The Bible is our foundation. Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter number 7, that if any man will hear my words and do them, not just hear them, but do them, he's like a wise man that built his house on the rock. The floods come, the rains come, the storms come, the fires come, the trials come, but his house stood firm. Not because it was a better house than the other one, but because it was on the right foundation. Be sure you're founded on the standing on the firm foundation, the sure foundation of faith. Let patience have her perfect. Know for sure you're saved. Be sure you're living on the solid foundation. And then I like this. I heard somebody preach on this. It changed my concept of something I want to illustrate in a minute. Let me just say this, follow the light that you know. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to be 10 years from now. I hope I'm going to be in heaven, to be quite honest with you. I hope I'm done with this life by that time. I will say, well, this is my plan for tomorrow. James said, you know not what tomorrow is going to bring. Why boast you? Why do you plan for tomorrow? What are you looking forward to? Follow the light. I do know this, from today to tomorrow, I may go through some very dark valleys where it seems like there's no light. You ever been there? You walk with God, you'll be there quite often. God, I don't know where I'm at. I'm not sure what to do. I've got some major struggles in my life right now that I'm wrestling with God with. And it seems like on a daily level. And God, I'm not sure how to get through this. I don't know. Oh, God, to just follow the light that you have. Sometimes that light seems real dim. You know, I'm the type of person that my wife's downstairs. She already gave me a hard time, so I'm going to give her a hard time now. I got to sleep with a night light. Are you scared of the dark? No, I'm not scared of the dark. Because I got to get up multiple times at night. And I don't want to turn the light on. And I can't see where I'm going. And these walls kind of move sometimes. I want to make sure I can find a direct path to where I need to go in the middle of the night. When we travel, I got a little light. Or if I'm outside, hey, there's the moon and stars. I got enough light I can find out there. But it just, and sometimes just that little bit of light is enough. to keep you going the right direction. And I think sometimes we look back at our life and I thank God for the trials that I've gone through in the past. And God, you brought me through that one. I think we can do this one okay. I know I can't make it, but God, you did this. And I'm trusting in you. I think of when Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, he writes to Timothy and he said, I remember Timothy. And I look back at these young people that I've watched grow up. Some of them aren't so young anymore. But in my mind, they're still young. I think of Paul talks about the Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. He says, when I recall to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the faith of your mother, the faith of your grandmother. And now I believe that same faith is in you. Sometimes that faith seems weak. Sometimes it doesn't seem real bright. And we're not sure if we're going the right direction. Just follow that little bit of light that you have. We spend a lot of time in the beginning of the Gospels at Christmas time. And one of the great stories in the Gospel record, in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 2, it tells the events of the we call them the three kings. We don't know if there were three. The wise men, the wise guys, I call them. These magi from the east. And they came to Jerusalem in Matthew chapter number 3 because they saw the star from the east. Where they come from, what they knew about Bible prophecy, there's a lot of speculation. I think that maybe they were influenced by the teachings of Daniel when Daniel was in captivity in Babylon. And they understood some of the writings of Daniel. They understood the times that they were living in. And Daniel even gave a prophetic message of when the Messiah is going to come. And they were counting the days and counting the calendar. And there was some type of a star in heaven that they saw that confirmed their ideas, and they said, this is the time the Messiah is coming. And he's coming in Israel. And we don't know where in Israel, but we're going to make our way to Israel. But on the way there, the star was gone. There was no more star. They said, well, we saw the star over that way. Let's just keep going that way. We know he's going to be the son of David. We know he's going to be the king of Israel. So it's got to be in Israel, and the light was that way. We'll just keep marching that way. And you know the story. They came to Jerusalem first and asked King Herod, where's this child that's born, the king of the Jews? And old Herod Dander was raised for that one. What do you mean the king of the Jews? That's my title. He's taken my title. He's going to overthrow my empire. And they said, well, we saw his star, and we know that he's going to be born in Israel. And they said, and of course, they got all the record books out, and they got some old rabbis that understood some things about the Bible and said, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And they didn't know where they were. They didn't know what they were looking for exactly. They just knew that God told them in a little light and a star in the sky that they followed it to Jerusalem. And now that star is gone. So they just start asking around. Thought, we'll just keep going, keep following that light. We got here, and nobody seemed to know. And then they said something about Bethlehem. Okay, where's Bethlehem on a map? They punched in their GPS and put their camel in automatic overdrive and said, all right, cruise control camel, let's go. We're going to go to Bethlehem. And on their way to Bethlehem, just as they got to the little town of Bethlehem, they saw the star again. God, because they kept going with the little light that they had. They could have said, well, that star disappeared. I guess we had our calculations wrong. I guess everything was wrong. Maybe this just wasn't God's will after all. Maybe, you know, maybe. And then we met Herod, and he didn't seem like such a friendly guy. So maybe we ought to just turn around and go back. And said, no, let's go back. And then they saw the star over the house where the little boy Jesus was. Not in the manger. I know that messes up the scene when you read the Bible, actually. But they saw the star again over the house. And again, they knew this is it. Follow the light that you have. Sometimes that light will disappear. Sometimes you're going to wonder. Sometimes you're going to question. But let patience have her perfect work. Well, I'm not sure if this is what God wants. You know, I've learned this. Just walk the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God says, go this way today. Okay. What about tomorrow? Well, tomorrow, take another step that way. Today, let's go this way. The steps. The man delights in his way. Man plans his whole schedule, his whole scheme, his whole life out. The secret of following God's will, don't trip over that carpet. The secret of following God's will is just walk with Him every day. Follow that little bit of light that you have. It takes a lot of patience. Yes, it does. Because there are a lot of tests and a lot of things. And God will say, do you really believe me? Do you really trust me? Yes, sir, I trust you. Sometimes we're tempted to quit along the way, aren't we? We're tempted, I don't know if you're like me, I have a feeling you probably are, we try to figure out our own way out of this thing. Okay, God, you want me to be there, I don't know how I'm going to get there, so we'll just scheme and we'll plan and we'll get there, with or without you. And I said, no, just trust in me and believe in me, in my promises. It's still going. Rex, we got all kinds of time. I'm getting to the end, but it's not done yet. We're going to speed that thing up some. But I want you to see something here. And by the way, Bob took my verse early in the service. And we're tempted to quit. We all get to that point. And God's constantly reminding that verse in 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in Him. Just keep trusting in Him. Keep following Him. I know I'm saved. I know this is the direction that God wants me to go, to live by faith, to trust in Him. I'm not sure how we're going to get there, but I'm just going to keep going with the light that I have and trust in Him. And sometimes when you go through life, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, you're going to face those same questions, same trials. Remember our sand art? And by the way, I did this on purpose. Note, I think it looks better on the other side. That design that it makes, it's really quite beautiful, isn't it? Every time it's unique. It's never the same any time. But it's always a beautiful picture that it paints when it's done. Sometimes it takes a lot longer than other times. Sometimes it'll be done in an hour. And I first thought of this a while back. I thought, well, I could just do this for a message. In 1 hour, it's done. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Sometimes it's actually taken a few days. Sometimes almost a week. But when it's done, the designs are so unique and so intricate in there. But what happens if you speed the process up? You see all those lines and the beautiful designs, but it was supposed to finish there. But if I just kind of shake it up, you know, I've gone through an awful lot of turmoil, a whole lot of storms in my life. And I think I just need to fix this problem. I need to resolve it. I need to get everything settled down. So let's just, everybody just settle down, right, Jacob? Everybody just calm down. We're just going to get this thing all figured out, and we're going to hurry up. We're going to hurry up the process because we don't have time because there's food down there. We got to eat in a little bit, and we're hungry, and we're not going to wait till tomorrow morning for this thing to finish. So we're just going to speed it up a little bit and get it done. But you notice the finished project is not really much to look at. It's really kind of blah. Everything's just, there's no distinct lines, there's no character, there's no really quality to the paint. That's the difference between a master artist's painting and a little kid scribbling. And that's exactly what happens when we try to order our steps, when we try to work things out, when we try to go our direction. God says, let patience have her perfect work. You just keep walking with God. Keep trusting Him. Keep moving forward with the little light you have. Know for sure that you're saved. Be sure, be settled in your salvation, that it's in Christ alone. And the foundation is the Word of God. Give yourself to the Bible. Seek God in prayer. And more than anything else, and the more I face struggles and try to help people through their struggles, the more I'm burdened to pray, and I have such a great desire for God's people to get serious about the matter of prayer. And man, I'm inviting people all the time to come out and pray, but of course, we're too busy for that. We're too busy to get into the Word of God and too busy to let God take control of our life because we've got things to do. But God says, let patience have her perfect work. Trust in God. Walk with God and see what He can do. Otherwise, our life's just going to be plain old blah and nothing to show for it at the end. Not much of a design, not much character, not much quality. But if we learn to walk with Him, the more unique it is, the more powerful it is, and the greater our testimony for Him is. Let patience have a perfect work. The tests and trials that God brings into our lives, don't let them turn into temptations of our flesh to try to figure it out, try to do it our way, try to scheme our own way out of it. I love the idea that I've been giving quite often for righteousness. You know, we talk about righteousness as one of those religious terms we use all the time and don't know what it means. Righteousness, as I found defined, especially in the book of Romans, is God's scheme or plan of redemption for lost people back to a right relationship with Him. It's God's plan. It's God's. It's not my plan. It's not, well, and God talks often about man's righteousness. Man trying to earn salvation. Or man trying to keep their salvation, their sanctification. No, righteousness is trusting in God. Trusting Him in salvation, trusting Him with your life, giving your life to Him and following Him one step at a time. So I advise, especially to Liz and other young people or adults as well, every one of us, just learn to walk with God. Let patience have her maturing work, her perfecting work in our lives. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you building on the solid foundation of the Word of God? Are you following the little bit of light that you have and trusting in Him? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you will.